Bibles, the book of Revelation, chapter number 2. Also got some verses in Revelation, chapter number 3. But amen, Revelation, chapter number 2, and read a couple of verses here, and then a couple of one or two in chapter 3, just so you'll get the idea of what we're talking about this morning. Revelation, chapter 2, and verse 7, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." In verse number 11, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." In chapter 3 and verse number 6, it says, "He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God, and thank you for these that have come for this day. And we just ask you to help us this morning to, Father, that we might be an able minister of the Word of God. Speak to our hearts. Teach us, I pray, by your word, and just have your way this morning, that your word would go forth to accomplish that would please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. What we find here in these chapters, in chapter 2 and verse 7, 11, and 17, and 29, And then in chapter 3, verses 6, 13, and 22, we find that phrase, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." I mean, he that hath an ear, let him hear. God, help us this morning that we might be able to hear God's voice in a noisy world. To be able to hear God's voice in a noisy world. Now these letters here that was written, I mean, as John wrote these letters, they were letters to the churches. I mean, to the churches. He was not writing to folks that were outside the church, but I mean, he was writing to the folks inside the church. And he said to them, every single one of them, he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Now he did this, the purpose of these things, and the purpose, I mean, the Bible tells us that God came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. It tells us that he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but because the world was condemned already. And here, he comes to the church, and he speaks to the church, and he tells the church, if you've got an ear to hear, hear. He did this to awaken their spiritual attentiveness and their obedience to the Word of God inside the house of God. And when I say inside the house, I don't mean in church on Sunday. I mean if we're part of the church, wherever we go, he said, to hear the Word of God, and amen, to follow it up with, amen, obedience. First thing to notice is, as we read these verses, we're in chapter 2 and in chapter 3, and we've got seven different calls here with the same thing. The seven churches, and each one of them getting this same word. He that hath an ear, let him hear. You ever spoke to somebody who nods while you're speaking, but you know they didn't really hear a word you said? Boy, how come I seen some wives turn and look at their husbands just right there? Just, whoop, boy. Maybe we've been on that end where we've acted like we were listening, but I mean, we was just trying to get through. The question is, how often have we treated God's voice with the same manner? Present, but not attentive. Present, but not attentive to the things that God was saying. And we clearly didn't hear what God had to say. What we need is we need to be spiritually tuned in. Spiritually, we need to be tuned in. And I thought about this because Saturday I was on the road. We had headed back home, and it was about a little after 12, and I told Pam, I said, see if you can find that football game on the radio. See what the Seminoles is doing. And actually, it wasn't quite 12, it was because the game started at 11, but so she was dialing it up, and she found it on a station, but it wasn't good reception. And so when you got the FM radio and it's dialed, you was getting a lot of crackling and a popping, and you could make out some things that was going on. Somebody scored a touchdown, but I wasn't real sure who had the ball. Somebody made a good play, but I don't know if I need to cheer or not, because I don't know if it was my team or the other team. Why? Because there was a lot of static. The reception was not good. And I could get bits and pieces of what was going on. And every once in a while, I might get a piece of information that helped me to decipher what that was a few minutes. Oh, well, the other team ain't got no points. That was us that scored that touchdown. And sometimes that's the way we are with God. What we hear is kind of like a lot of static. I mean, we're not locked in on the station, so to speak. We've got ears, but amen, we're not hearing that well. But here, seven times in chapter 2 and 3, Jesus says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Let him hear. This isn't some casual advice that he's given, but it's a divine command, if you will. If you've got an ear, he said, let him hear. God is speaking and he wants the church to hear. We've all got ears, but if we're honest, spiritually speaking, our hearing is not as well as it should be. And see, here's the thing about physical hearing. I know and I can tell mine's not as good as it used to be. And sometimes we have to get some hearing aids trying to help us physically. But you know what? Spiritually, we don't need a spiritual hearing aid. We just need to listen to God because, amen, God will speak to us. Amen, if we're physically deaf, God can still speak to us. But amen, boy, when we get spiritually deaf, God help us. The repetition reveals here in these verses that the message that's going out is urgent. I mean, God's message to these churches in the book of Revelations, it's an urgent message. He just keeps repeating it. If you've got an ear, you need to hear. If you've got an ear, you need to hear. How many times have I heard somebody say, well, you know, that they said something like that's going to happen. Jesus has given them a warning, repetition. God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? God speaks, but are we listening? He's speaking here to these churches. And so the call to listen was repeated, letting us know the urgency with which Jesus knew this call was going forth. But see, also we notice in these verses, and we get, for the sake of time, we didn't want to read all both chapters, but the voice of the Spirit is personal and precise. Personal and precise. Now, used to, a long time ago, when I was a teenager, we used to have a lot of quail up there on the farm, and I loved to go quail hunting. And I can remember some of my first quail hunts that I ever went on, and we'd go, and most of the time we had a bird dog. Every once in a while we'd be without one, but that dog would point and we'd get ready and quail would flush and there they'd go. And buddy, they'd be so many quail get up and go out there, you know, as I thought, buddy, that can't miss. Boom. I didn't kill one. I learned pretty quick that you can't shoot it to covey. That ain't how it works. You throw up and you think, well, boy, I can get one of them. They just all right there. I was just shooting it to covey. And amen, I wasn't hitting nothing. When they flush, just pick out one. And you're shooting at one. I'm shooting him. I mean, and if you get him, then you might can turn around there and try shoot at another one. Now, when I first started out, I was shooting a single barrel, so I needed to learn just one at a time. One at a time. My point is this. If we look here at what God was saying to the churches, I mean, he wasn't just scatter shooting them, so to speak. He was picking them out. It was personal. Every church, every individual, every person. When he said, if you've got an ear to hear, amen, you need to hear. And he had a message for that person. He had a message for me. A message for you. A message for you. Amen, he had a message for each one. He knew the condition of each individual church. He knows the condition of each individual church today. He knows the condition of each individual heart. Because listen, what is the church? Well, it's individuals. And we make up a church, and a church can become a certain way. But why does it become the what it is? It's because of the individuals that are in that church. And so God speaks his message in a personal and a precise way. I mean, when he points and he sends out a message, I mean, he's pointing at us. He's not just covey shooting to say, man, he's got us pegged, every single one, and he's sending us a message that we need to hear. And so every church received a unique message. Ephesus, he said, you've lost your first love. Smyrna, they were faithful in persecution. Pergamum, compromised by false teaching. Thyatira, tolerated immorality. Sardis, spiritually dead, though they said they had a name. Philadelphia, he said, faithful and enduring. Laodicea, lukewarm and self-sufficient. God tells us the truth. When He speaks to our heart, He tells us the truth. And He still speaks to us today. And He speaks to us today, not in generalities, but amen, specific, just as He did with them, because He knew the condition of the church. Here at Laodicea, they thought they was okay. They said that we're rich, and amen, they went so far as said, we have need of nothing. Jesus said that you don't even realize that you're poor. Amen. That you're blind, you're naked. They thought they were the cream of the crop. Their evaluation and God's evaluation was on opposite ends of the spectrum. And He told them, if you have an ear to hear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Because He's personal, He's precise, He knows, and He'll speak to me, to my heart, to my needs. Third thing here we see is hearing should lead to overcoming. We see here in verse 7, it says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In several other verses, we see the same kind of message. Each message ending with a promise to him that overcometh. Well, amen, how are we going to overcome? It's certainly not going to be in my strength. It's not going to be in your strength. We're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, the Bible says. We need to be overcomers. And so when He says here in these verses, when He says here, hearing is not a passive thing. Hearing demands response, repentance, and perseverance. Hearing. Amen. Demands response, repentance, and perseverance. If they're going to experience the tree of life, the crown of life, the hidden manna, the white garments, their names in the book of life, He said, we need to overcome. Overcome. Are we just hearing? Because see, James spoke to us about being hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. You know, to be overcomers, hearing. Even in teaching, when teachers, when they teach and we hear the instruction, we hear that for a purpose, that we learn what's going on in a certain field, whether it be, you know, with electricity or mechanics or whatever the field might be, we begin to learn some things. And when we learn that, maybe a little light goes on and we say, oh, okay, now we know. Okay, now we know how to, I mean, if that's the problem, I know how to fix it. If we hear the word and we respond and we apply the word, if we take it in and we hear it and we understand what that word said and we take that knowledge to heart, amen, it makes a difference how we can solve those problems. You know what? When the word of God comes in and we take it and we hear it and we begin to apply it to our hearts, we begin, amen, to be able to be overcomers. Have you ever been working on something? Boy, I have. And I'm not a mechanic. I've fixed a few things. I've tore up a bunch. But some things that I've worked on, for instance, you know, say it's been a few years ago now. I don't know what made me think to say it, but I when it was mentioned about something had to change with a website, and I said, you know, I think I'll give it, I can do that. Let me tell y'all, for the first 3 days trying to work on that website, I felt like picking my computer up and throwing it out in a yard. Because they didn't, anything worked. I was watching tutorials and all these kind of things on how this done and how you do this and how you, and it just wasn't happening. And I'd watch them again. And boy, I'd go and I'd work and I'd do. And I can't remember exactly, but somewhere along there about day 3, after doing this and doing that and listening again and listening again, I done something, and when I did, it worked. And all of a sudden, all that other information that I had, amen, I overcame that one thing, and it was almost like a chain reaction. Now, I'm a long way from a professional, but it started coming together. I mean, by the end of the second day, I could have just quit and they wouldn't have been nothing. But by the end of the third day, there was a start of a website that you could actually tell what it was. I mean, why? I mean, well, I kept listening and figuring and doing until that thing that I heard helped me to be an overcomer. The Word of God, amen, if we'll just take it to heart, if we'll listen to it, if we'll obey it, if we'll follow it, amen, and we may be dug a hole so deep, we'll think, well, I can't get out, but amen, if you'll just keep listening to God, obeying God, walking with God, amen, yeah, you can become an overcomer. But amen, the fourth thing here this morning is the barriers. What's the barriers to hearing? Well, we've got the noise of the world. Distractions, entertainment, busyness. No, we all know, I mean, you've been on the telephone and had to tell them young'uns, y'all be quiet, I'm on the phone. I mean, because we was trying to hear what was being said on the other end. And maybe we could hear, but our attention, the distractions of everything else is going on. And let me tell you what this world does. It's sending a lot of distractions, making a lot of noise. You know, we're sitting in there trying to watch a TV show or something, and we the only one really in the room that's interested in it. You know, and the other four or five people are carrying on conversation and talking, and we're sitting there thinking, man, I'm trying to see what's going on here. I don't even, what did you say? Why? We missed it. You know what? Same thing happened with God. What did He say? I missed it. The distraction, the noise of the world, the distractions, the entertainment. Boy, we live in a world that thinks that they've got to be entertained at every turn. But not just the noise of the world, there's the hardness of the hearts. The hardness of the hearts. We see in these churches, He spoke to them about some of these points here, pride and sin and spiritual apathy. We get careless. We get discouraged sometimes, and it causes us just to kind of lose heart. It causes us not to be able to hear good. We're not listening real well. And then there was, in the churches, there was false voices. There was deception. Cultural compromise. I mean, you mean that was what was going on here in the book of Revelation with the church's cultural compromise? I mean, it was going on even then. And boy, do we see it today. What does it do? It keeps us from hearing what God says. What God says. Because see here, the reality is this, church, the only thing on the day of judgment that's going to matter is what God says and how we responded to what God said. Amen. And so all of these things are barriers to hearing. And the question for us, the question for them, if you've got an ear to hear, you need to hear. What was it that was going to drowned out the voice of the Spirit of God in their hearts and in our hearts? What is it that taking us away? What's hindering us from hearing what God says to the churches? And amen, lastly this morning, God help us to cultivate a listening heart. To cultivate a listening heart. To groom our hearts that we might listen and hear the Word of God. Prayer. The Bible tells us pray without ceasing. Pray. We've talked about it. Pray and prayer being a hard thing, a difficult thing. But amen, it's a necessary thing. We need to pray. Not just go and pray and listen and speak, but amen, we need to take time to listen, to pray, and to speak to God, but to wait and to listen to see what God has to say to us. Scripture, the Bible itself, the Spirit speaks to us through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. We pray. We read the Word of God. We pray over the Word of God. God, help us to understand the Word. God, help us to apply Your Word to our heart. This is how we cultivate a listening heart, through the very Word of God. And then obedience. Hearing becomes clearer when we obey what we already know. I mean, if we're unwilling to even do what we already know, we probably ain't fixing to find no new information. We probably ain't fixing to get no new revelation. If we're not willing to do what we already know that we need to do, so we need to be obedient to the things that we know, and those things that are down the road will become clearer as we obey God. You know, when God said to Abraham, when He called him to get him out and go to a far country, I mean, He didn't show him how, okay, this right here, here's how it's all going to happen and lay out. He just called him to go. God said, here's what I'm going to do, now you go. And amen, Abraham, he left and he went out. And all along his life journey, as he obeyed God and he walked with God, his vision of God got clearer and clearer. And amen, it'll do the same for us. It'll get clearer and clearer. God still speaks. God does. And He wants to speak to us. He said here of these churches, to all seven of the churches, if you have an ear to hear, if you've got an ear, He said, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, I ran across this week, and I thought, well, I don't know exactly how accurate it is. I don't know who figures up all these things, and I don't even know who they are. But they say that we check our phones about 96 times a day. That's on average. Now, I thought a lot of people didn't check it but one time a day. Amen. They get up, they check it, and amen, when they go to bed, they get off of it. Because just this week, I saw a little video, and the gentleman was on there, and the caption was this. If we treated our Bible like we do our phone, amen, he was brushing his teeth, reading his Bible. Amen. He was in there fixing him some breakfast. But amen, he is reading his Bible while he is fixing his breakfast. He sat down to eat, but while he is eating, he is reading his Bible. He is driving to work, but while he was on his way to work, amen, he is reading his Bible. Amen. He was there at work, and every time he got a chance, he was reading his Bible. Amen. He got home in the evening, amen, he just sat back down in his easy chair. He is reading his Bible. And I thought, 96 times. Because see, here's the thing as we close this morning. Spiritual deafness is not about ability. Spiritual deafness is not about ability, but it's about priority. Priority. What do we do in this life? What do we really do? The honest truth is most of us do what we want to. I pray God put some want to in me, in us. And he that hath an ear, let him hear. That phrase is not just a poetic phrase. What it really is for us and for all churches, individuals, for Christians, it's a spiritual checkpoint. I pray God let us be a church and let us be individuals that hear, that heed, and that hold fast to the voice of God, to what God says. If you'll stand with us this morning, just for a minute, every head bowed and every eye closed. Amen. If you have a prayer need, I ask you to come. I mean, if God's speaking and asking you this morning, do you have an ear to hear? I pray you come. It's every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. If you have a need, come. Pray that you obey God today.